Oh, it's Sunday evening, night, 7 o'clock here in New Mexico. I'll get to my destination about 9:30 or so, a little after 9:30. About the time I usually get there. This is Jason Emerald. You're listening to Cohen Lone Wolf Saint. Interesting day today in Sunday school. The pervasiveness of ignoring what is actually being taught in favor of altering what's being said. In our case, we were studying from the Epistle General of James. I'm sorry, the need to alter James, what James is saying, and try to turn it into something that conforms better to a certain mindset. I don't know if I do a great job of this. I think I do pretty good. I seem to do a lot better than a lot of people do. Of simply taking what's being said and saying, is this what they really mean? And then coming to the conclusion that that's what they really mean. I've been going through tough, rough parts of the Book of Mormon, as you look at A Curious Instrument, which is at https www.quix.us. Oh, go to www.quix.us. You don't have to worry about the https or the colon or the slash slash, whatever, any of that stuff. You'll see there that in my scriptures I keep coming back to Christ being rather demanding and the prophet saying that you really need to be a good person. Good people will make it to the celestial glory, for instance. And how that, and I just seeing it over and over and over and over again in my recent, very slow reading through 3rd Nephi, 4th Nephi, and into Mormon. I'm still in Mormon, although I'm getting close to the end. And I haven't been going very quickly at all. I went on vacation and I didn't really read my scriptures during vacation. And you can go, oh, you're a bad person. You go, so just not going there. Not going anyway. I got this cough too while I was out there, and I still haven't shaken it. Probably have some horrible walking pneumonia or something like that that I really need to, I'm not going to get time to do anything about. Anyway, the Christ is probably a lot more expectant and almost demanding of good behavior, obedience, things like that, than most people really want him to be. They just don't want him to be that demanding. And yet, I just keep reading scripture after scripture after scripture that really says, if you don't do what I say, you're going to be damned. If you don't do what I say, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I swear people just skip those parts over. I'm very concerned because it became very obvious. There was a reading in the Come Follow Me manual. And that's where it says, this is what we're studying. And it goes through and it says, this is what you read. What do you think of this? And let me tell you, it stops when the territory gets a little dicey. It was really poignant because one of the readings from, I think, Hebrews, the next verse said, and Jesus is like a two-edged sword to cut asunder this and that. And it should have been a little frightening, should have been a little terrifying, but it wasn't in the reading. If you're just following along and doing what you're told, you won't read that part. And of course, it never comes up in Sunday school discussions unless somebody like me, it's typically always me, brings it up. And, you know, everybody kind of shuffles and gets uncomfortable and go, well, I like to think of Jesus as a really wonderful person. And you go, it's important that when a prophet tells you that he's not going to be a nice guy under certain circumstances, that he's got a rough side too, that you need to know that, because someday you're going to see it. And when you see it, there's some likelihood that you will turn away and that you will say, like so many Christians say, that's not my Jesus. And you know what? That's denying Jesus Christ. And that's a pretty serious thing to do. And it's not good. Don't be caught deciding that the true Jesus isn't behaving the way you want Jesus to behave. That you will not accept him as your Savior, because that moment will come. How many people, I think about my own children, I think about me sometimes, who decide, I don't know what exact reason they give for why they do that, but decide that, you know, I don't like Jesus. Jesus sounds like a bad person. Or God's a jerk and I don't want to have anything to do with him. And you go, wow, well then I guess you don't want to be like him, do you? No. And you go, okay. You go, then I guess you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get sins redeemed. You're going to have to pay for all your sins. And that's going to hurt a lot. You could avoid it, but you're choosing not to. You know, God the Father and Jesus did so much to make your progress to exaltation possible, and you decide to get weird about it. Well, I don't want to be like him. He doesn't care about people as I think people should be cared for. I think he lets too many bad things happen on this earth. Totally ignoring the fact that this life is a test. And the vast majority of the tests that you're going to face are caused by either yourself or by people around you. And to say that God should be shuttling around, taking, you know, doing everything about this when it's like, well, what are you doing about it? How are you solving that problem? Or is it even a problem to be solved? Being poor and being in need, it's not a sin. Being poor and being in need has a better calculated chance, and it's referred to often in the scriptures. How difficult is it for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven? Fill in the blank from the scriptures that you know. Situations that can make you humble or make you terribly bitter. And which way are they going to go? And it's not our job to particularly solve that problem. If you're an employer and you have a job and they can do the job, hire them. I've gotten really pointed about the poor. And I don't think I've ever really been poor. I didn't have much money when I was younger. Now I do far better. Stay over here. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the afflicted, those in prison. Help the fatherless and the widow. That's about it. And that's pretty much the exact frame that Christ puts it in. We always, you know, everybody starts conflating all kinds of things. Oh, you need to go the extra mile. We need to do this, we need to do that. And you go, if you're compelled to go a mile, be prepared to go two. It has nothing to do with charity. If somebody sues you for your coat, give them your cloak also. That's not charity either. That's somebody who's using the law to take something you have. See, people conflate things too much. Oh, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this, let me take care of these people, that people. It doesn't mean not to be charitable, but it doesn't mean to render yourself poor in doing it. You don't have to do that. Of course, you get to sell all thou hast and give it to the poor. When the rich man came and said, I've been keeping the commandments, I've been doing all that, what more do I need to do to gain eternal life? And he says, do this. And you go, and come follow me. I think that was an invitation for that rich man to come and join Jesus' close circle of disciples, maybe even become like an apostle or a 70. And he decided he didn't want to do that. Because I think that's what it was. Sell all thou hast, give it to the poor, come follow me. Live the kind of itinerant, don't know where your next meal is coming from sort of existence that Christ and his apostles seemed to live. As he was showing them the way that they were going to go about and preach the gospel, which was to go out without purse or scrip to do all that. Everybody was saying, no, not everybody, a few people. I found it really interesting. There was a discussion. It used to be called Midnight Mormons. Now it's called Ward Radio. And the group there was talking about nice versus kind. And the fact that being nice is not a virtue, which I have been a proponent of for many years, is that I'm not big on nice. Nice is problematic. Nice lets bad things happen instead of trying to make good things happen, working to make good things happen, which everybody kind of reconfigures as kindness as opposed to niceness. I'm just trying to be nice. And you go, don't try to be nice, be kind. And sometimes the kindest thing to do is to get on to somebody and say, you really need to let go of Teddy Bear Jesus. Says he's not Teddy Bear Jesus. Does he do wonderful things for us? Yes. Do sometimes we know why he does wonderful things for us? Sometimes we don't know why he does wonderful things for us? Yes. But Jesus gets to do that on his timetable and in his way and place and timing, where Teddy Bear Jesus is at your beck and called every single second of the day. And you don't want to be like that. You don't want to put that on Jesus, because you're going to get disappointed. And then you will get disaffected. And then you'll stop following God and Jesus. You'll find yourself walking away because you like a different way of getting things. And then you'll find out how vacuous it all ends up being. So anyway, it was a whole thing about, what was the statement? It said, as we, and Joseph Smith changed it. There's a Joseph Smith translation change in this particular verse in James. And don't ask me where it is. I don't know, and I'm driving. I'm not going to go try and figure it out right now. Hopefully you can find it. It first read, if you endure temptation, Joseph changed that to resist temptation, which is a little more active. Resisting something is more active than enduring. Enduring, you can sit there on the ground and endure. When you're resisting temptation, you are doing something. You're pushing forward. You're pushing against it. Anyway, it said, then you will get a crown of glory. And down the footnotes, it says what that crown of glory is exaltation. And it's like, okay, so I was fine. I said, yeah, it says we have to resist temptation so that we can gain exaltation. Ta-da, not difficult for me. Well, this one lady, sister, pardon me, popped up and said, well, I think we all get a crown. And the first thing I thought of was participation awards. You're going to get a crown for just simply coming to earth. And you're going, I know we get, unless we really just turn on God completely and actively work against him, we're going to get a degree of glory, but it's not exaltation. And you're going, what are we working toward? I know I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again many times, but I think it bears saying. The purpose of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, the point of the church, is to provide us with the priesthood, to provide the authoritative ordinances to get us to exaltation. That's the point of the church. It's not to make other people feel comfortable and feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's like they say, some people just don't feel welcome in church. And I go, it's not surprising that they wouldn't feel welcome. This organization, this church, has a higher purpose. And if you're not sold, and if you're not working the higher purpose, you're going to feel a little uncomfortable. You're going to keep saying, well, I feel like kind of an outsider here. You know, a lot of LGBTQ type folk, that's their basic complaint, is that they don't feel comfortable. And you go, well, we pretty much ask everybody to strive for something higher, and LGBTQ people aren't striving for something higher this way. They sit there and tell us how we need to love and respect them. And you're going, how about if I just, you know, church is here. Now you'll need to make a lot of changes before you can really progress in this church. Our advice is to do it, to make those changes. This is, and pretty much all that says that you will probably stop being a purveyor of LGBTQ culture or whatever, attitudes, behaviors, whatever. so that you can align yourself better with Jesus Christ and the agenda of God. It's like, if you've chosen a different religion, if you were a Latter-day Saint, and then you decide to be, transgender, for instance, yeah, are you going to feel uncomfortable? Yes. Is the church here to try to make you feel like you're loved by Jesus Christ in spite of a conscious choice and change in the wrong direction that you have made? And they go, well, I'm going to go to a church where they say what I do and what I am is perfectly fine. And their Jesus loves me, not in spite of what I'm doing, but because of what I'm doing. And you go, you're right. I've got a different, you're right. That's a different Jesus. We worship a different Jesus than you do. And if that's the Jesus of Christianity, I don't worship that Jesus of Christianity. I worship somebody else. That's my Savior, that Latter-day Saint Jesus. And I'm not trying to make him more acceptable to more groups to try and get more people to maybe join the church, out-Christian the Christians. I just don't do it. Anyway, it came up. It comes up. You know what? It's uncanny. It always comes from visitors. People usually, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but people who usually come from the Jello Belt, Utah, Southern Idaho, Northern Arizona. That's what I call the Jell-O Belt, where they found out that more Jell-O is sold than any place else in the world. It's where Latter-day Saints congregate the most. Don't know why that's a big thing for Jell-O, but it's fun to say. And it always comes up from those people and their absolute need to preach their teddy bear Jesus. And I do. I said, I get really frustrated. I get really frustrated with the Utah Cultural Center, which is what the church often becomes. Just a place where Jell-O Belt Mormons can get up, says, and the other uncanny thing, those guys will get up and they'll bear their testimony, and often that testimony is about how wonderful that wherever they go in the world, there's a nice place to go that looks really familiar, and it's got Hessian weave on the walls, and they know that they can hear the gospel. And you're going, I'm a little nervous about you guys, this gospel. I think it's a little askew. And I'm not excited about your testimony of lazy Jesus who waves a magic wand and salts and, absolves you of everything from the sofa where he's watching TV. And the fact that that these people feel so comfortable enough that they're preaching their weird. It's like, did you read the scripture? That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that you need to do this. Crown of glory you do not get unless you resist temptation. Not give in to it. Not change your stance on Jesus Christ to fit some teddy bear fluffiness that makes everybody feel good. It's not like that. That's not our Jesus. Read your Book of Mormon. Read your Doctrine and Covenants. It's rather pointed. Christ doesn't soften up with time. In fact, I think he gets more pointed. It gets a little sharper in the Doctrine and Covenants. He teaches some hard lessons. He will forgive you when you're doing what he's asked you to do. And he'll condemn you when you're not doing it to his satisfaction. His satisfaction level seems to require he's got big requirements. You've got to make it happen. He demands obedience. Too many people get the idea that you don't need to be all that obedient. That Jesus will love you into this stuff. When, look for that scripture, see if you can find it. Oh, I do have water. All right, well, I think I've gone on about that quite enough. Beware of teddy bear Jesus. Beware of lazy Jesus. Beware of a Jesus that is not in the scriptures. Does he love us? Yes. Does that mean he's going to do all this stuff for us? No, not necessarily. Well, it's a good time to stop now. This has been Jason Nemro. You've been listening to Cohen, Lone Wolf Saint. Let me leave you with the blessing that God instructed the sons of Aaron, of which I am one, to give to the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace.